just two people on their phones who weren't sure the show was going to start. So we made panicked eye contact and took a simultaneous deep breath.
I was just... We're going to keep this in, but I straight up forgot that it's my friend's surprise birthday party right this second.
Fuck.
I mean, there's nothing I can do about it. But
no, we literally just started the show. Dang. Sorry, but, friend. Surprise.
But what happened was I had to double check because he texted me and I was like, oh, shit. Surprise party. And then I was like, wait, I don't think the surprise has happened yet, but I'm stuck at work still.
Oh, shit. Will it have happened by Wednesday morning? Yeah. When people hear this?
Yes.
Okay.
I think, but this is all happening in real time.
Oh, boy.
How are you doing? This is Yo, Is This Racist?
This is the podcast
Holy
where we
fucking fuck
are surprised by it every time.
Yo, Jesus,
this is the show
Christ.
Where we listen to your voicemail questions about racism and we talk about them with a special guest or guests. But first, we talk about some current events and stuff.
This is a wild ass week.
This is a wild ass week for many reasons. You, well, maybe you can't say in your writing the what you're writing. No,
I can't.
Great. No,
I'm working.
Andrew's working. Did you like how I murmured it to you as though this wasn't just still a microphone?
I'm at work.
He's at work. It's a busy week at work.
It's a busy week at work. But you know what? They're all busy weeks. And watch Mixed Dish. I don't know.
Tuesdays at 9.
Oh, my God.
Now I know it because producer Alex looked it up and now I remember it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
What a good show.
Congrats on a good show and good work. Everyone's doing good work. What else is happening? we still like,
okay, I'm done.
No, I lost my mind just now.
Okay.
Guys, we're doing great. Jordan made us Christmas cookies.
I ate all the cookies already. They're so good.
They're so good. Jordan, you said these are your mother's recipe.
Yes.
I've never seen anyone reach for a mic so fast. I'm so sorry to put you on the spot. Is this a secret recipe? Were you entrusted with it?
No, it's not a secret recipe. Okay. It's a really basic recipe. So,
well, they're delicious.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks, my mother, who gave me the recipe.
Oh, thank you to Jordan's mom. Because that's what we're all about here at Yo, Is This Racist?
Jordan's mom.
Thanking people's moms. Oh, Jordan's in specificular. Spaticular. Spaticular. That's when you want someone, not generally.
Yo, this is, we're closing out 2019 strong as fuck.
I just came from a physical therapy appointment. 6 months ago, listeners of this show will know that I suffered whiplash.
Oh, God.
Never fixed it. Just
oh,
kind
shit.
Of.
We're following up on that storyline.
And now, I feel like that's why I'm real crazy right now. Because, you know, sometimes they adjust you and you feel weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel weird. So I'm going to blame all my weirdness on that. But
I got no excuse.
You guys will be happy to know. My whiplash is getting healed. The whiplash from July is finally getting addressed in December.
Oh, my God.
Showbiz, baby.
God, we're just fucking up.
Wait, we made some lists. Okay, this is segueing in news.
Multiple lists?
Maybe it was just one list. I just saw it so many times, I started to think it was multiple.
I think we made a good list, though.
Everyone I know who's ever even been on a podcast won a category on that list, which I'm not mad at, because all of podcasting is sort of a participant's...
Yeah, sort of a just a general Ponzi scheme. But
it's a general, like, a participation prize kind of a vibe. We're all kids that didn't get the real medals. I'll remember, I was a future champion in the rodeo competition circuit. That was my official winning status. Future champion.
Why not just get that trophy right now? No, the Vulture put us on a very nice list of something. I gotta be honest, I don't really know what exactly the list was. It was just good podcast.
Yeah, it was
episodes.
Like all the good podcasts of the year.
But yeah, our 1,000th episode that we solved racism special.
Which, again, props to anyone for listening to all 3 hours of that.
Boy.
Off topic, rambling tangent. I saw a review once where people were like, it seems like they just go off topic and don't talk about racism. And that's not why I listen. And I was like, yeah you're correct.
Fair. Why do you listen to the racism people? Yeah. You got to come in for the other part.
Yeah.
Like lunacy.
Yeah, what are come we in doing? For the bits.
Or whatever this is.
Whatever this is.
Whatever the fuck is happening here.
So thank you to Vulture and thank you to everyone. And nice company to be in. Lots of titans on there.
Mostly that. It's just nice to be among people who are so good at podcasting.
Producer Zig had like 7 fucking shows nominated or whatever, awarded on there.
He's got a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah. He's like the Miramax of, not that one. Sorry, I forgot.
Producer Zig is out here harassing people.
No, I forgot. He's gone now. I forgot that was the bad man's one. I can't keep track.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, should we talk about some actual Quran
events?
Racism
news was fucked up this week, was it? No, it was, it felt fucked up.
It felt fucked up, but ultimately wasn't? Where are you going with this?
I just think we say it's fucked up too often. And I'm trying to be cognizant of the fact that I guess I'm trying not to cry wolf. I don't know why.
Mm.
Arguably, this entire podcast is crying wolf.
Well, but it's not for...
However, it's crying wolf, but there's wolves everywhere.
I mean, for real. You're crying wolf. You're like, there's a wolf. There's a wolf. There's a wolf. There's a wolf. Oops, saw wolf. Oops, double wolf.
Yeah.
Werewolf. Wolf, wolf.
Well, werewolf. Person for a second?
Nope. Werewolf back again. To werewolf. Yeah.
Too scary.
Where's a wolf? Here's a wolf. Everywhere's a wolf. Wolf. What we're saying, earwolf, is that everything's bad and we're the ones who say everything's bad all the time. So, but we're not talking to the people who don't know that. We're talking to people who do know that, who are...
That's true.
They're sitting in their cars going, there's a wolf, there's a wolf. So if anything, we're just comforting...
There's wolves around.
The other maniacs?
Gosh, well, so do we do the racism news?
Yeah, let's do it.
In comforting racism news, a bunch of cadets at the fucking armed forces were at the Army-Navy game. So that's Army football versus Navy football. Oh. Imagine being a football player in the armed forces.
How does that work? I don't understand enough about what it is.
Yeah.
I once knew a man who played trombone in the Army, and he wore those feet shoes, and I'm scarred.
The little toesies?
Uh-huh.
That's not...
Can't be uniform.
You know, doesn't strike me as Army, does strike me as trombone. So...
A lot about him struck us as trombone.
He was, if anything, more trombone than Army.
Hey, we all have a Venn diagram? No, mm-hmm. A Kinsey scale of trombone to Army.
Yeah, you're either a trombone or an Army.
So I didn't...
Please don't write it if that was fucked up in any way. We don't know what we're talking about.
I did not follow this story. I just saw a bunch of little kids doing the white power sign.
Yeah.
And I don't really understand what... So people are saying that they weren't doing that?
Yeah, they were.
What's the game where you put it on your leg and if someone looks at you, they have to punch you?
I think it's that. It's like you do a little okay. But here's the thing. It's been so co-opted by...
Of course.
Like white... You know, like... Nazis steal shit all the time, you know, swastikas and whatnot. But once it's taken, it's took.
It's taken. Yeah. There's a certain set of skills. I mean, Nazis are nothing if not, what's the opposite of prolific? unoriginal?
Oh, yeah, they're thieves.
But yeah, so, okay.
But yeah, so that's like the new white power sign. I mean, flashing it on TV is certainly a choice that is Nazi. And I don't know. I mean, like, we're living in an era where we give racists so much power that we let them deny that they're being racist when it's inconvenient. Mm. I don't know. This kind of goes with actually the other story, which is there's a dude
in Des Moines, Iowa.
Yeah.
William Stark.
Fucking, like, he has swastikas and Confederate flags outside his house and says it's not racist.
And he lives, across the street from an elementary school. It's majority black.
I mean, this is the Fox News link, is the one that...
I know, why did I send a Fox News link?
Well, there was one, no, but I think it was, I can't remember if it was a more, it was local Fox News, but there was another headline that was a little more from a source that should have been allegedly more balanced. That was like, the headline was to some... I can't remember the exact quote, but it was basically something to the effect of, like, this guy has a bunch of Nazi and Confederate flags outside of his house. He claims it's not racist. Others disagree.
Yeah.
Like, both sidesing
fucking
this shit.
Fuck that.
I had a real thought about this, which is, like, or not a real thought. This is an unoriginal thought, but, like, I actually was sort of hoping we would finally be able to put, like, our fucking pathetic media's, like, both sides obsession. Like, this idea of, like, fair and balanced. I don't know if it's just indoctrinated from, like journalism school, or the way it's, like, taught, or like, just the fact that the people who learn that that's the only way to be objective. Mm. Like, you're played. Like, it's – balance is inherently unfair. Like, if you try to portray both sides of most social issues today, you are on one side, you know, one side is clearly full of liars and racists and bigots. And by portraying them as reasonable in any way, you are not being fair to reality. So it's a little amazing to me that this is, like, still sort of the standard, clearly, that journalism works under. And I genuinely am curious what it would take to change that.
Well, I'm curious, too. It also is particularly wild because this person, the man whose house it was, said, oh, it's a free country, I'll put it out if I want to, which that's a standard response we expect. But then he also said, anyone bothered by this, they don't know their history. They don't know – the only reason they can think anything bad about it, meaning these symbols, is they don't know their history.
Yeah.
So this person, I don't know what he believes or if he's just spouting that to claim he's not racist. He's just a history buff. I don't know. Yeah. But, like, the fact that there are still people saying, like, swastika is not racist.
Yeah.
It's just a swastika. And the media, I don't know, people feel like they have to report on that.
Yeah, or that's like a valid opinion. It's like, yeah, he's a racist liar.
Yeah.
Like most racist liars, and that's fucking it.
Yep.
You know, I truly, and this sort of is a little bit of, like, why I hate so much the, oh, you can't know what's in someone's heart argument for, mm-hmm. like, more subtle types of racism, because racists already have so much fucking power, but giving them the power to, like, dictate reality,
yeah,
is fucking gross to me. Yep.
What else is gross?
Let me see. This was not on the thread, but this is actually
you're always doing this to
good
me.
Racism news, and I know you hate sports, but
I don't hate them.
Racist UFC fighter Colby Covington got his ass fucking beat this Saturday. It was so great.
Oh my god, not the soccer player. I like that guy.
Nope.
Okay.
Different guy.
Okay, I'm sorry. The names are similar and I really don't know sports. I hope I didn't make a uncomfortable comparison of those two.
I mean, let me see. No, this guy is a Usman. Kamaru Usman, who is, he's American, but he's at some point from Nigeria. I don't know if he immigrated and was naturalized or his parents are Nigerian, but he's black. Colby Covington, fucking racist piece of shit, got his jaw very satisfyingly broken in the third round. It was great. I'm sorry. I'm being a gross fight sports person, but, and look, this is also, like, racists win all the time in fight sports. So, like, taking this as some sort of sign of anything or justice or thinking combat defines justice is
bad. I guess I would say my typical violence isn't the answer, but then I'd be like, well, they both get paid to violence.
Yeah.
So this is a paid sport.
If anything, this wasn't even violence. It just was very satisfying on some level. But anyway, fuck that guy. That was the good racism sports news. Italy. We've talked about Italy, Italian soccer for a little while.
La Liga, mm-hmm. thank you, announced a series of anti-racism initiatives because if you aren't aware, like I wasn't really, anytime a black player goes on the field in Italy, people scream horrible things at him. They throw bananas onto the field. They call him monkeys. They call them shit blacks, I think is what it translates to from Italian. So they created an initiative that's an art installation. I don't know how to build up to this anymore, so I'm just going to say it, guys. It's a bunch of pictures of monkeys.
Yeah. Not
it's
ideal.
Because I guess, wait, the message is we're all monkeys. We all came from monkeys.
Yeah.
But, like,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if this is quite the Eminem dissing himself in the freestyle so you can't vibe that they think it is. I don't think that it's achieving that. I think racists are just going to be like, yeah, fucking monkey.
Yeah. How does this... I mean, that's just, I guess, how racist Italy is.
Oh, God.
Feels like a very wide judgment I just made, but I don't fucking know.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, I mean, the art is well done. The artist is very talented, I mean, but Jesus, Lord. And then someone actually in this thread, I don't have time to look into this, but someone recalled another story from Italy from a few years ago when a child in a youth league was called, I don't know, the Italy's equivalent of the N-word. and the rest of the white players painted their faces black in solidarity.
I mean,
it just... I don't know why it's really funny to me. It's the worst.
Yeah.
You missed the mark.
I mean,
everybody.
You know, I guess to the extent that some of this is just assuming everyone experiences American history in the same way, but the blackface thing
that's true. Well,
awfully.
Well, also, I mean, the monkey thing, like, that's not American history either, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what?
That's just like,
I feel comfortable saying fuck Italy. All right. Well, on that note.
This is a rare one, Andrew.
Oh, yeah.
We have former guest of the show, former guest host of the show, back, Lorraine de Graffenreit, very funny UCB performer, very knowledgeable, smart person as well. But this is rare in that Andrew was not in this interview.
I was out.
He was gone. I don't even remember what you were doing.
I don't either. I'm sorry.
So we had also— I mean, we'll say you're working.
Probably.
We'll say you were working.
Yeah.
So in Andrew's stead, co-hosting with me for Lorraine's interview, we had former guest host, also very smart and funny, cool person, Danny Fernandez, who's now, I just learned from Twitter, developing a show for HBO Max. So mm-hmm. we'd love to see a queen rising.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. She's about to be unattainable.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, probably should have been unattainable from the jump. But you know what?
She's doing us a favor.
Yeah. Lucky us.
So say goodbye to Andrew's voice and listen to mine and these two wonderful people along with me, won't you? And there's no shame in being small, gentlemen. I just started the podcast.
Okay, great. Am I allowed to talk now?
Yeah, we're here with Lorraine de Graffenreit. We got our fun guest co-host. Once again, we got Danny Fernandez.
I'm back. Thank you.
All women in the house.
Love it.
I love having
being
you here. It's been great.
This is my happy place.
Yeah, this is the
best. We all feel happy talking about racism. Best podcast on the app.
Best.
That is a statement.
On the Lorraine de Graffenreit list of podcasts, Yo, Is This Racist is number one.
Oh, wow. That is high praise.
Yep, there it is.
We're not even number one on my list, but... Yeah. But thank you. We have to be number one on someone's. we started this conversation because Lorraine said, oh, you're tall. Congratulations. And I said, not when you want to work in Hollywood.
Oh, my God. But it is. It's cool. I mean, like, what they were.
It is pretty cool.
Because they promised. They were like, oh, just based on the average of your mother's height and your father's height, looking at you, you're a tall kid, like. At the very shortest, you'll be 5'10". So I did.
What?
That's what they said. So I put it to bed. I didn't worry about it. I was like, great. I'm like not that tall right now because I was like in middle school. I don't know. I don't remember when they gave me this news. And then they measured
this news.
But I didn't worry about it because I was going to be tall. And then they measured me like 3 times in a row, like the visits. They looked at my chart and they were like, oh, you've stopped growing. And I like teared up and I was like, can you please measure me again? Because I'm just not ready. And they're like, sure. Sure, we'll measure you again. But as you can see, you stopped growing.
How old were you?
I think I was 12 when I stopped growing.
Me too.
I didn't have this moment with like a tearful moment with a doctor where
really
he tells
sad.
Me I'm done growing. You guys, am I maybe not done growing?
Oh, maybe.
That would be so boss.
That would be so cool.
I would love it.
Fuck, I'm going to be like,
I want you to be aggressively tall.
Oh my God. I'm going to be a monster.
Though. Yeah.
Be careful.
Be careful.
I think, I don't, you know, it's so, I'm 5'4 and you're 5'10.
I'm 5'10.
And I.
If a casting director asks, I'm playing with saying 5'9.
Okay. Yeah, 5'9.
Do it, do it. I just think it's funny because I don't consider myself that much shorter, but I feel like I'm one of those, like, I'm a chihuahua. I'm like one of the little dog that thinks they're big. I'm like hopping up like to be the same size as you. I consider myself a big dog.
I think of you. I don't think of you as a small person.
My feet don't touch the ground.
Her feet literally don't touch the floor swinging. Of the studio.
They're swinging. It's
so also, whenever I'm in one of these corporate chairs, I always call these corporate chairs mm-hmm. whenever they have like an up and down, I always sink them down because I get so paranoid about sitting way up above everyone.
Uh-huh.
I always feel like I'm like lording over the men at the conference table. So I sink myself. I literally make myself smaller.
I appreciate knowing this. Like, I think I might have more open conversations with tall people just to kind of hear about how they, like, accommodate the world around them. Because I don't see tall people that way. I'm like, oh, you run this place. Like, you are the boss. Anything you say goes.
Well, of course, grass is always greener. We mm-hmm. run the place until you run into an older, I want to say, like, 55 to 60-year-old white man who you can tell the second you meet him, he is so mad that you're taller than him. So mad. And he just has this undercurrent of just disgust, hate, resentment for himself. Mm-hmm. He also kind of knows he's ridiculous a little bit. So that it's like a big fucking sandwich of just self-hate talking to you. And I'm like, sir, I just need to know where the DiSerrano is in this CVS.
Okay. Here's the other one, though. Do women who are jealous get salty? Do you ever get side eye or glance or like?
I never thought about it, but now I'm going to worry about it.
Check it out. It maybe is happening.
Check it out.
Because in LA, like there are times where I'll see people who are like obviously models. I'm like, oh, you're a model. Like you're probably like 17 and you're really tall and thin. Like you are clearly someone who's on her way to like model jeans. I don't know. And I'll think, wow, that's cool. But then I'm also like, oh, that's probably really weird to like go around the city being that. Cause like you get looks that maybe you don't want. I don't know.
You know what's so wild is that I had this conversation with my therapist, as I do, and then I lived in an apartment complex where we had a lot of models. They were international, like they, and all they did was work out at our gym, just on the elliptical constantly. And I used to have an eating disorder, and that was like really triggering for me. And she was like, but can you imagine that your job isn't reliant on your body?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was so like freeing for me. She was like, but how do you think that they feel? Because I was like, I'm not like them. I'm not their size. I'm not, you know, I can never be their size, no matter how much I've worked out or whatever. And she was like, but how do you think that they feel about it? That their entire livelihood is based on
there.
And that was like, so, oh my gosh, I'm so glad that I can just be dumb and funny.
Yeah, oh absolutely. Yeah. Since we're going there, I am a former eating disorder haver myself.
Let's talk about
it. Let's get into it.
Let's get into this church. Here we go.
And I remember like you have I don't know if this is true for everybody. Cause like, you know, everyone's journey is different. But for me, a lot of intrusive thoughts, a lot of angry, weird shit. And then every once in a while, there'd be this little voice that would come in and be like, isn't it so great that this isn't going to be forever? And I'd be like, who's that? What's that? And there was just this one little voice that was like, lucky for you, like, you're the only one making you do this. And that is so weird. Like, whatever.
But like, I would have men that would comment, because I'm very open about my trauma on Twitter, where you are open about your trauma, at least if you're me. And I would have guys be like, oh, that's so sad you didn't love your body. I'm like, because of y'all. Because of y'all. Who do you think made all the comments about my body in middle school and in high school and in college? Who do you think was making all the comments about it?
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't me. I didn't learn that. I mean, I learned that behavior. I wasn't born with that behavior.
Yeah, no. You're coping with
a very toxic world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But is that one of the things that triggered your eating disorder? Do you have comments about your body?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then also, like, all of the activity that I had done up to that point in my life, like I took dance for 10 years and I was always on a sports team and I went to an all girls like middle school through high school. So that kind of environment, there's just a lot of food talk, calorie counting, all that bullshit. So yeah, it was sort of just like a lot of script cycling through my head telling me that I'm less of a person if I'm bigger. So by all means, like anything you can do, try to be thinner. And it was like, I graduated from college and stopped playing sports. And so I really just panicked. I was like, who am I if I'm not always being athletic? Like, how am I going to manage? How am I going to stay thin if I'm, you know, just going to the office? I don't know. I just sort of panicked. And like, I started becoming obsessed with working out. And I came up with all these excuses for why I needed to eat a certain way and exercise a certain way. I tried to justify it. But at a certain point, I just tapped out because it didn't make any sense. And I'm like a thoughtful, curious, intellectual person. And I was like reading about it a lot and was like, this is totally stupid. And I just, I don't know. And therapy's great.
It always comes back to therapy.
Highly recommend.
Yeah. I was going to say, I sadly had to spend some of my childhood in Orange County. And that was kind of what triggered my eating disorder is that all the girls were a size zero. And I was like, I think in middle school and high, I was like a size eight, which is still considered small, but definitely not in Orange County or in Hollywood. But I just remember my parents being like, you'll never be that size. Mm-hmm. Like just, I don't know your ethnic background, but I just, my family was like, all of the women in our family have curves. Like you're never going to be that size. And I remember thinking like, oh, I'll show you. I can do that. But like, that's such a thing. Since we are talking, this podcast is about racism. I think it was so difficult for me to like now. Also, another thing was my mom was made fun of for her lips. They literally called her Sandy Big Lips.
Wow.
And then when she was in college and then in the 80s, everyone was getting injections, you know, in the 80s and 90s to have big lips. And it was just like, we were taught so much to hate those things about ourselves that now everybody wants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man, the whole thing with Kylie and her lips has been such a roller coaster because I don't know. I don't really understand how lip injections work, but it seemed like first she put them in and it was like, oh, lips are everything. And then she like took it out or stopped having it. And so some people panicked because like they had, you know, forced their mothers to like give them money to do it. And then she brought the lips back again. I am just really glad that I'm not growing up in a Kylie Jenner world. Like, I was a full grown adult when she started existing.
Yeah, I'm also glad I'm not still a child for a lot of reasons.
yeah. But that is, I hear what you're saying though about like ethnicity and this whole like body image dysphoria thing being linked. I have two black parents. I have light skin, but I'm black. I'm very black. Anyway, my mother's side of the family has a certain build that I think I've pretty much like inherited. But at the same time, I think what comes with having like sort of a bigger body is this weird like paradox or like hypocrisy in like your thinking or in the way you talk about it. Like my mother and her sisters really love to cook and they love to feed other people. And there's like always food around in my home. But then there's also this script of like, oh, you're really going to eat that? And like, da da. And
totally.
It's
with each other.
Yeah, with each other. And there's this like weird game playing and stuff. And I just kind of decided when I was maybe like 24 or 25, I just like made a conscious decision to opt out. And I was like, I don't want to play anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't want to be a part of it. Like, you guys can hurt each other's feelings as much as you want, but I want you all to know, like, I'm rooting for you. I love you. I think you're beautiful. And I have to believe that you're beautiful because you look like me.
Yeah.
Like, we're each other.
You worked hard on that fucking pie. So please have a slice of it.
Oh, yes.
Totally.
Yes, I'm not going to
forego. You worked hard. This is a cultural thing that we have made this food together. Please enjoy it.
We deal with that so much in Latino families where it's like, they'll comment on your weight every time. But then if you don't finish your plate, it's like, why aren't you eating?
Uh-huh. Right.
You know?
You're like, I can't win.
It's so triggering.
Either way. Mm-hmm. I have a white mother who has always taken very good care of her body. She's beautiful regardless of that. But I had this bizarre opposite thing growing up where she was so hard on herself about how she looked and her weight. And so, I mean, I could do no wrong. I would be an unhealthy, inactive mess just eating fruit roll-ups every day. And she'd be like, oh, but you look beautiful. You're always going to be beautiful. Like, she just filled my head with like positivity. So she thought she did a wonderful job of trying to prop up my ego. But what I internalized was I watched her, and we have an identically shaped body. We both go up and down in weight, but our bodies are the same. So I'm watching her say, I hate my body.
Mm-hmm.
And then I internalize that as being like, oh, well, it's bad when you're above this certain weight or whatever. And if she knew that, it would break her heart because she worked so hard to try and give me confidence.
Right.
But now I have confidence from other things, Mom. I want to get to this first voicemail because it kind of ties into what we're talking about. Here we go.
So I live in a town that is very segregated. My question is specifically about the grocery stores in our town. So there is a local chain, and in the majority black area, the produce in that chain is the same price, but is clearly like the worst produce that they have. I guess my question is, if I want to fix this problem, do I go to the lower income grocery store and try to infuse more money into that store, or do I boycott the chain altogether? I don't really know what the solution is. I don't know if I can really make a difference about it. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Okay. So same store, two locations of the same chain, different quality of produce in the black neighborhood. What can she do to fix that? First of all, I mean, like, I'm glad you noticed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't notice that shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, for me, I would ask some questions. Like, is this grocery store chain, does it make sense for the caller's commute in any way? You know, like, are we crossing town to go here? Is it one that you pass a lot? Like, I'd ask kind of those questions, too. Like, just does it make sense for your life first? And then if it does, if it's like a place that's easy enough for you to access and you're there frequently, you're in those neighborhoods, what I do for these kinds of things is I just be a really bitchy customer at the store, or like to a manager or something like that. Like, oh, is this how the eggplant just is here? That's so crazy, because like I just down the road at this other store, and I don't know, like kind of get information about why things are that way.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the people who work at the store can like give information about like what's going on. Like, yeah, it's a huge problem. Like, it's inconvenient. We don't like it. Like, here's what's going on. I don't know. And then you can kind of find out more things, like grassroots efforts to make big box grocery stores more sustainable or like more efficient or like whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. And like, maybe they can redirect your energy to maybe get online and say like, hey, I've noticed at this location, you know, sometimes I know we tend to overdo this, but I am a fan of like blowing up companies on Twitter will pay attention. They have to pay attention.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're like, hey, at Ralph's or Albertsons or wherever this is about, be like, I noticed that your location down in the hood has such and such and this doesn't. Because my first worry, Lorraine, as a fellow light-skinned woman like yourself, my fear is that you or me is going to walk into that majority black Ralph's and be like, is the eggplant supposed to be this way? And every motherfucking black person who lives in that neighborhood is going to be like, who is this high yellow bitch coming in here?
I am that high yellow bitch.
Where's the arugula?
I know. Look, I want to use my white woman powers for good. I do. I want to speak to a manager if it means that you all will get better arugula.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't want the side.
What I would do is take pictures, document it. And I'm all for publicly shaming. Mm-hmm. But I think that that's something that you could do of like at Kroger and be like, I just noticed, and here's over the weeks, like keep track of it over, you know, weeks and months of like,
yeah,
this is, I've noticed this and it's not changing. It's not a one-time thing.
Yep.
You know,
and tag us and we'll share it. Cause like, I get very passionate about food desert shit.
Some of those publications would take it. I mean, you might,
100%.
You might could also like make some money writing an article.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Like, first we should probably suggest like the real work angle that like gets you paid a little bit. But if you lazy like me and like your main job is like making shit up on a microphone, then maybe just do what Danny said, take some pictures and get it trending on Twitter. Cause when people see the evidence of that, like side by sides of where the produce is popping and where it's not, and what the clientele looks like in either place, those optics are bad for a company. They don't want that.
And also just bringing this issue up, like, a lot. Like, I don't know. I just feel like they're, like, too often is the case that a group of people, like, classist, racist people will be like, that group of people is unhealthy. Like, they, and just remind them, like, well, actually, like, at this local chain where I tend to go, I noticed that, like, the produce sucks. So, like, if I lived in that neighborhood, I guess I'd be, quote unquote, unhealthy as well.
Yeah, because
so
that doesn't look appealing. I wouldn't want that.
No, I wouldn't want to waste my money on produce that's already bad.
You are going to get, caller, you are going to get people people that are like, or when you talk to the manager, you might get the argument of like, well, it doesn't sell here, so we can't keep it in stock. Mm-hmm. The customers, quote, don't want it. That's a common thing for chains to be like, it just doesn't work here. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, but if it was appealing and shined up and stacked up like that bougie ass Whole Foods in the Grove, it would, they would buy it, you know?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, that sucks.
Public shaming.
Yeah, Danny's like, burn them down. Name names.
Yeah. Also, like, the whole little anecdote of me, like, being a bitch, it mostly comes from, like, I do this every once in a while. Like, ever since I... By the way, actually, let's go way back. When we were talking about, like, eating disorder shit, a big reason why I wound up gaining a bunch of weight was my body retaliating against starvation mode. So, like, that happened to me. So, like, I used to be able to fit in clothes that are sold at places like Urban Outfitters, et cetera.
I've heard of it, yeah.
So every once in a while, I like to revisit those stores and just see. And I'm, like, reminded, right, like, these places don't have... like clothing sizes up to a certain point. Like mm-hmm. they will have one size L on the rack and they'll stop. And I used to work at an Anthropology, so I happen to know they have XL or double X or triple X or whatever, but they keep it all in back stock. So
because they don't want you to see what it looks like in a human woman size.
They also are like, they don't like bigger body people trying on their clothes. They don't trust us. They think we're going to break their fabric or whatever. So they like want to be able to like monitor you. Anyway, so I just will do a lap and see like, what's the latest? How are they doing? And if I still don't see anything bigger than an L, I'm like, I'm going right up to somebody and just being like, what the fuck? Like, do you ever have them on the floor? And the answer is mostly no. But I just like to check in and be like, we like these clothes. So if you want us to buy them, just make them available. So it maybe, is like shitty to do that to a grocery store clerk, but I will cuss out the fitting room clerk at Urban Outfitters.
Lorraine is a fan of being a bitch. Okay. Her words, Danny is a fan of shaming. I guess I'm going to go Goldilocks in between and be like, do both.
Perfect. All right,
let's listen to another one.
Hi. I'm a white woman, and I teach at an all-boys Catholic school that is Covington Catholic, but is pretty similar to Covington Catholic. I've been there for a number of years, and I've noticed that the few kids of color that do go to school there are really assimilated, and they tend to not know anything about historically black colleges. And so my question is it appropriate for me to talk to them about historically black colleges? Is that racist? And if not, like, how do I go about doing that? Thank you so much. I really, really love your podcast.
Oh, thank you for being an educator.
That place sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to. I mean, I don't want to go to a Catholic school.
I went to a Catholic school, but like it was diverse. I mean, it was, we made up a large portion of it as we normally do. We're super, Latinos are super Catholic, but I've just lost my train of thought. I forgot her question. Can she talk about that?
Yeah, like basically, can she make black students aware of HBCUs? Which is wild that they don't know it. But I guess I'm thinking, like, what'd she say, middle school or high school? When I was in middle school, I did not know what an HBCU was. I probably didn't learn about it until high school. There also weren't a lot of black people in my town, so there just wasn't a lot of buzz happening. We didn't have a lot of chat about it.
Yeah, it is interesting. Because, like, I was aware of HBCUs when I was in middle school and also high school, but I couldn't, like... rattle them off in a list the way I could Ivy League schools.
Oh, for
you know
sure.
what yeah. I mean? I'm yeah, like, yeah. That is very interesting. Hey, I think if you want the kids to be aware of these schools, by all means, make them aware of these schools. And I totally hear what the caller is saying of like being like, oh, well, what should I stay in my lane? Like, I'm a white person, da da da. But I don't know. I remember there being quite a few like white educators from my past who were passionate about race related.
Yeah.
History, culture, et cetera. And they influenced me in ways that, I don't know, that are lasting. Like, just, I don't know how to explain it. But, like, it was important for me for my teacher in seventh grade to have us read A Raisin in the Sun. He was a white guy to talk about like the politics of black women's hair. Mm-hmm. It was like it rocked me because I was like, what? You're not supposed to know.
Yeah, how why are you?
Why? You don't know.
How are you here?
What? But he wanted to open the floor for this conversation. And it was like challenging because on one level, I'm sort of like, this sucks because like up until this point, I was told not to talk about this in the classroom. But here's this guy just making it okay, like all in one day. Like, this is too much for me. But I mean, while in that one day, it's like a little bit unsettling long term. That was meaningful. That was really cool. I'm really glad that he did that. So that's just my point of view. Like, if I had a teacher being like, these, there are these schools and here's their historical significance, I would be like, right on, thank you.
I also think as a teacher, it's your job to set them up for all of their options, make them well known of that. Same with like, I had teachers that were like, oh, you should apply for this diversity program or something, you know, because it was just like, you're supposed to make them aware.
Yeah, access. And also like, what are you, I hear what the caller is nervous about, being like, I'm just going around to the black kids and being like, have you heard of Morehouse? Right? Like, you don't want to just and have the black kids be like, I'm not even into what they do there. Like, why would you?
Yeah.
So I do think you still have to remember, like, individuals are suited to different schools for a variety of reasons, you know? So you still have to tailor your recommendations to things other than just being about race.
Yeah.
Because every HBCU isn't going to be right for every black student.
Absolutely.
That sounds like an obvious thing to say, but like, she might be like, I need to make sure the black kids need to know about these schools, when really it's like, are you just including them in the same breath that you're talking about all those Ivy Leagues that we can probably all rattle off?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I would for sure want it to be one of those things where it's like, I want the whole student body to know about HBCUs.
Absolutely.
So if that is at all helpful to the caller, that's something that I think would be very like, innocuous and, and safe for all people involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to a Catholic college, despite not being Catholic. I went to DePaul and I was at the theater school, so like we weren't really Catholic, but like it was interesting to me to see the people who had come from Catholic schools who were going to a Catholic college. Mm-hmm. Danny's grinning at me.
Well, because you said not really Catholic, and I want to be like, they aren't either. I went to Catholic school, and a lot of the same with like any Christian private school. Most of those people don't really practice what they preach, is what I would say.
I also feel like it'd be weird if I didn't say I am Catholic. So here we are. But am I Catholic? In quotes, yeah.
I feel like
it looks like we've all dabbled with Catholicism. Yeah, look at that.
We dipped our toe in that holy water.
It's so weird because I feel like it's such a part of my cultural identity. It's so tied into it. And I don't identify as Catholic, but I'm not a practicing Catholic. I know enough, though, that I can use it against Christians on Twitter, which is my favorite thing to do.
See, you just got to weaponize these things for good.
I love it. I'm like, no, actually. when it said to take in, to love thy neighbor.
I like that that's the debate you're having. Like, no, here we go.
Whatsoever you do to the least of my people, that you do unto me, Christians.
That's not a Tool lyric.
Yeah.
That's not prog rock.
Yeah, but it's interesting, but also fascinating that I have like also brujas in there. They can both exist. It's just very superstitious is the thing.
Oh yeah, super super duper superstitious. And not long ago, I did a little bit of research on like voodoo culture and whatnot, and how a lot of what came out of voodoo stuff. It is influenced by like Catholic colonizers, like in the Caribbean, like Haiti and stuff. And so there would be like voodoo Creole people like practicing their religion right near Catholic churches and stuff. And the Catholic people would be like, no, don't do that here. Like, get out of here. All that ooga booga stuff is too scary. But it's like, it's the same thing. Like all these individual patron spirits of things, like that's just Catholicism. That's
so what it is. Be like, get out of here with this weird stuff. And now I'm going to drink the blood.
Exactly. And, like,
this is his body that I'm ingesting.
Do you remember when you were a kid, Danny, doing the Stations of the Cross, like going around on Good Friday, and it's like just a death thing. Like, you're just walking through. You have to, like, get on your knees and think about how Jesus was abused at this part of
his walk toward his
death.
Oh, yeah.
You, what is this? The OA?
So the original OA, the Stations of the Cross.
So, it's like Jesus has fallen for the first time. Jesus has fallen the second time. Jesus, they shove a crown of thorns on his head. And then we sing a somber song and you just visualize this man being brutalized just to death. And that's like a whole day of the ecumenical calendar. Like, you have to think about that all day. It gave me the heebie-jeebies. I didn't like it. I still don't like it.
It's kind of a fall me twice, thorns on you kind of situation.
A brown man died for your sins. I just want
to... Yes,
immigrant. Mm-hmm. I just need to remind people of that. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Yes.
Yes, a brown immigrant. Should we do this last voicemail?
Yes.
Let's do it. Also, shout out to all of our pastors and youth pastors.
I want to say that she is Catholic, this is coming from two Catholics. It's too, like,
I know.
You know,
yeah, I feel just safe. To be clear. Normally, me and Andrew are just here being like, "Oh, religion is a lie," like fucking 13-year-olds. So it's good to have actual people who identify as the thing talk a little bit shit about it. But no, I recently, when we were on tour, I met a lot of people of faith that listen to this show, and I'm like, I'm sorry. All right, here's another one.
Hi, Andrew. Hi, Tawny. Big fan here. Don't know who from my social circle listens to your podcast, so I don't want to put my name out there.
Hopefully all of
but
them.
But I just, this isn't necessarily a question of whether or not somebody else did something racist. This is more so for me. I know that as a light-skinned black person, I have some difficulties with addressing certain racial issues. And one big one that I know I've had that I've been trying to tackle recently is confronting non-black people about their use of the N-word. For a while, I was uncomfortable to even say it myself because I didn't think I had much claim to it because I was light-skinned. But now that I've educated myself and gotten a better grasp of it, I'm comfortable saying it, but I'm still having trouble confronting my friends and family who are non-black that use that word. Do you have any advice for me in tackling these issues? Do you have any personal stories of your own? I'd love to hear it because this is something that I've been not struggling with, but thinking about for a while. And with the TikTok in charge for the next few centuries, I figure this is going to be a discussion topic that I bring up a lot. So thank you. Bye.
Was anyone else tripped out that he said, I have a hard time telling people in my family not to say it? Non-black people in his family that he feels like trouble confronting.
I also feel like it's harder to talk to your family about things that you would like different. It's like harder because I don't know, like family, it's like we're always gonna have to deal with each other. So it's like easier to disrespect each other or something. Mm-hmm. It's not like at work where you're like, oh, I don't want to be ostracized from this tribe. Like, I don't want to have some sort of demerit on my name, so I'll act right. But with your family, there's kind of like no real consequence for like acting bad. You just kind of have to like rise to the occasion and like be a supportive, like affirming family member and be a good listener to someone. So yeah, that's hard. That's really hard.
I just can't imagine them using it.
I know.
Wait, really?
No, I mean, like, I can't imagine them, like, who is it? Like, it to him and...
I know.
It just is such an abusive...
Wait a second. I want to make sure that I'm clear on what's happening. Are we talking about using it as an epithet to, like, attack the caller? Or are we talking about, like, casual, like...
Even that, I can't... I mean, even that. Either. Like, to me, it's just, like, it's so... He's saying a non-black person using it. And I guess I was caught off guard by him, like, not even being able to say that to them.
Yeah.
It's like... are your white grandparents like saying this word? Like, that's just.
And then I guess I wasn't thinking, not that this makes it like excusable, but it's easier for me to wrap my head around. Like, maybe there's an in-law or something. I'm like, who? Some white person married in and has acted wild. Like, maybe it's a white Uncle Michael for fans of the show who know Andrew's white Uncle Michael. Maybe it's a situation like that where it's somebody who married, as Andrew would say, your dumbest aunt and then throws this word around you.
I also just want to double check and check in. Did the caller specifically say white? Because I heard non-black.
Oh, you're right. They just said non-black. So that is different.
They're just, I'm basically coming from a place of when I lived in New York, I'd be on the subway a lot and there'd be these like young, like Latino, Chicano, Hispanic kids joking around and having fun with each other and calling each other the N-word is like a term of endearment, solidarity moment. Now, for me, I didn't enjoy that, but I kept my mouth shut and was like, these kids are growing up together in New York. They're figuring it out. I'm going to like let them live.
They also weren't at your Thanksgiving dinner.
They weren't at my Thanksgiving dinner. Thank you very much. And that was like a moment of learning for me because I didn't know that that was going down. Like that was the moment where I was like, oh.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, like, it'd be everywhere. Brown kids just say it who aren't black.
All kind of brown kids, yeah.
I know. Well, that, it does happen a lot in the Latino community, and I agree. It's something that it's, I personally feel and am correct about, that it's not our work.
You personally
feel this, you are also very right.
I'm also right about it. I don't care if you're Latino and gonna at me. That's different than being Afro-Latino. We're talking about Latinos. And I have black friends that will use that word towards me. I never use it back to them, you know? And it's just so, I think that's the difference with these kids at recess and on the playground is that they're hearing that word used in a friendly term towards them. And then they think, like, oh, I can use that word too.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, no.
Yeah. Danny said it here. No.
No.
I think that's very simple. I'm also okay, so the bigger umbrella question of this is the caller feeling like the lightness of his skin is preventing them from, well, let's start with first using the word. He said he didn't like to use the word, which newsflash, you don't have to.
Yeah, yeah.
You're allowed to not. You can be a black person and not want to use it.
I'm with you, caller. I'm so with
you. Who cares?
Like, I definitely do feel a pressure of, like, I feel like I should be using it, but I just decided I didn't. Every once in a while, I might be a text to Zig, and that's it. That's it.
Zig is a good person to use it with.
Here.
It's safe there.
I don't feel safe anywhere else. But for color, yeah, I also am a light-skinned black person, and it's complicated. And yeah, the thing of like, I don't feel good or safe. I'm working on confronting someone in my family using it. That is really hard. Gosh,
that's wild.
What is the advice?
The advice is it's sad to be like, you gotta do it. Frankly, if there's other non-black people in your family that you can delegate this to, I would vote for that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you need to take this burden off of yourself, if possible. I don't know the ethnic makeup of your whole family, but if there's somebody else who's not black, preferably a white, who you can ask to shoulder this burden for you, or whoever they're connected to. So if they married your dumbest aunt, talk to your aunt.
And then if you've done it, either you've done it or a cool aunt did it for you or whatever, if you've made it known that this behavior is not acceptable to you and they're still transgressing, they're still doing it anyway, at a certain point, you don't have to anymore. It's like you said what you needed to say, and now you just got to protect yourself.
I like that you changed it to cool aunt, where I am like continuing the Andrew, you know, whatever vocabulary here of just saying your dumbest aunt marries a racist white person, and that's why you're in this situation.
I think that in my mind, it was a different one. It was like,
aunt.
I just decided I like invented a cool aunt character who could walk onto the scene and be like, she married an asshole.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
That's the aunt that would drive too fast and would pick me up and take me to the discount shoe warehouse.
Yes.
Let me buy the stupid jelly sandals that my parents would be like, gosh, no, those are going to break.
That's the best
like,
aunt.
Those are a waste of money. They're going to fall apart. Yeah. And cool aunt would be like, you can have them. You can have them. They're $12.
Yeah.
She would get me like the bubblegum cigarettes.
Yes. Yep.
Truck man.
Yeah. She would take me to get my nails done and then we'd get ice cream. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what was dumb aunt doing? probably some dumb shit.
Dumb shit, like multi-level marketing stuff.
Yes.
And like making us help.
My mine went somewhere else. It was just like getting hurt by a man.
Yeah. Oh, and that too. That too. Probably definitely. This white uncle who's throwing the N-word around. Your Easter Seder.
You could be Jewish. Why would you ever? That's just so cringy to me. Like, why? I just don't understand it.
I think that's what I meant when it wasn't that I couldn't believe that someone wasn't using that word. It was just like, I can't imagine in a setting where your family member is just like whipping it out.
Yeah. Oh, I hope it's not too traumatic of a situation. I hope it's just like some shitty cousin.
Yeah.
Some like shitty little urban cousin who thinks he can say it, you know?
Yeah. I want to take like a fan moment and just say, so this is the first time that I've been on this podcast where I've gotten to like respond to voicemails.
Oh, yeah. So you guys remember Lorraine was on our, what did we call that?
Juneteenth.
I thought we had some insane long name like we do sometimes, but
I
we didn't.
I don't remember.
Our Juneteenth extravaganza where we explained Juneteenth to all of you.
And I was excited because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get to go on Yo, Is This Racist? I'm finally going to get to respond to a voicemail. Because as a fan, you were listening and you immediately have all these like immediate reactions. Like, I know exactly how I would tackle this situation. Mm-hmm. And with these, I've just been sitting here. So like, that's hard.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would tell the grocery store. I'm not good at teaching kids in school.
Because it kind of does put you, maybe not me and Andrew, because like we've done it now for too long, but it puts you that step closer to actually being in the situation. Whereas like when you're at home listening, you have all these like ideas, right?
Yes.
And then you come in as a guest and you're a little bit more like, well, maybe I wouldn't do it exactly like that.
No, seriously. Because like when no one can hear you and I'm just listening to like you and Shireen and Anna Hosnier, talk, I don't know, like listen to these voicemails. I feel like I can say whatever I want, like totally uncensored. But then when I heard these voicemails, I was like, these are real people's lives. They are going through something real today. We have to help.
See, you both have a lot of empathy, which has been great for this because normally Andrew and I were like, fucking quit your job, shut up, leave that man. Like, we're like, burn it down is our advice. Burn it all down.
Oh, yeah. That's another thing. I really look up to you guys because you very quickly say things like, you'll be like, fuck your friends. Like, yeah, like, fuck them. Like, ditch that friend. Like, it's cool that you feel like safe and free doing that, because that to me is like the right answer sometimes, but I'm too scared to say that.
No, I mean, it's fair to be scared, but like these times are too wild. Mm-hmm. These times are too wild to fuck around with anybody in your corner who you are not sure they are going to absolutely have your back when something like dangerous happens, when something very serious happens, when you like can't trust what your friends are going to do or say or fuck them. Get them
out. These are such dangerous times. Like when I look at people who support Trump, like, so I'm going to Mexico in a couple of weeks and I saw this post. I've been seeing all of the things that are like, this U.S. citizen, even with their passport, was held because they're Latinx. And it's just like, I literally messaged because I'm going with two other Latinas and I'm like, are we going to get held?
Oh,
like, you know, I'm like, can we even, is this dumb of us to even go? Like, you know, and I say that from a place of privilege as a U.S. citizen, knowing that, and as one it's still to me like so terrifying that if anyone is even remotely okay with what's happening and what's going on, it's just like, I can't even fuck around with you. I can't even deal with it.
Definitely.
And that's okay. And I think that the people who are like the real ones, if you are able to have that conversation with them, they will understand.
Right.
And they may not change their mind, but they will understand that like maybe when some shit calms down or when they learn a few things, you guys can come back together.
Yeah. It's like scary to confront someone because you're like, oh, what if I lose them? But like if you lost them.
You don't have them now.
Yeah, exactly. Like if you were saying like, hey, my personhood is worthy of respect. And they were like, nah, no, it's not. Then it's good. Get rid of that person.
Or they were like, yeah, sure. I get it. Your personhood. But really like taxes and the economy. Am I right? That's where I'm voting. That's what I'm voting about. You don't need them.
No.
So that's why we say fuck your friends.
Yeah.
But on this episode, we had a little bit of a softer energy.
We really
did. And we might have actually, I'm not going to say we, you guys might have actually helped people with your empathy and your very smart brains.
I hope so.
I hope so too.
I think so.
Yeah. Callers, follow up if you want to continue. No? Is
not
that not
me.
What you do?
No. You guys can. I don't need it.
Wait, unless you tag Kroger. Then let us know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah, we do want to hear from you. We want to be part of your campaign your to take uprising. Down this supermarket. I do think it'd be interesting. That photo side by side is a good idea.
I do too. I really want to know.
It could be any of them.
It could be. Yeah, in New York, I remember the Key Foods. Do you guys know Key mm-hmm. Foods? There were, it depended on the part of town, but yes, there would be like one part of town, there's like flies and shit like all around the produce, and it's like, this is a nightmare. Like, I don't mm-hmm. want to be here. And then over in like Park Slope, it's mm-hmm. like all nice and smells great. Mm-hmm. And it's
that's they complain.
They do complain.
They email.
They, yes, they absolutely email. So, like, why even put a location in a neighborhood if you're not gonna make all of the product like worthy of being bought? Like, I don't understand why you would want that.
Yeah.
It makes you look bad.
Yeah.
It makes the store look
Kroger
bad.
Kroger and or Albertsons and or Ralph's, Jewel or Safeway.
Walmart, Vons. John's.
Mariano's. Is that still a thing in the Midwest? Mariano's?
I don't know Mariano's.
There would always be a gentleman or a lady playing a baby grand piano next to the food, the like hot food. Uh-huh.
Next to the like, hot food, huh?
It was an interesting spot. Sometimes by the cash register. We got to get out of here. This is a long episode. This is my fault. I'm just yammering about Mariano's. Okay, well, this has been wonderful and enlightening. I want to thank my guest co-host.
Yay.
Danny Fernandez, we just love having you here as a guest, as a host, as a person to eventually take over my job when I eventually am murdered by someone I thought was close to me.
No, because you're so busy being successful, and I love it.
That's a nice way to put it.
I love it.
Tell the people where else they can hear you, what other things they should tune into.
Yeah, I have a show called Nerdificent. We cover the past, present, and future of different fandoms and fun stuff. We have all spooky for Spooktober, October. We're doing covering a ton of last year. We covered like the Halloween franchise. We have some really cool guests coming out. Goosebumps. Yeah. So that, and then I will be at New York Comic Con.
Nice.
In October.
Cool. If this is not in October, you saw her at New York Comic Con, and wasn't she great?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lorraine, what you got going on?
Hey, I don't have that much going on.
Yes, you do.
But, okay, my name is Lorraine DeGraffenwright. If you want, you can come check out some sketch comedy at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in Los Angeles. It's the one on Sunset. On Wednesdays, there's a thing called Mod Night at 8:30. And my team, the Summer Of, we perform the first Wednesday of every month. Mm-hmm. You can find me on Twitter if you want to. I'm at Lorraine with 5 R's. And as Andrew puts it, the R's are out of order. on Instagram, I'm at Lorankey Dank. LORRANKYDANK.
Cute.
Cool. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here on Not a Giant Clusterfuck episode.
Yeah.
This was wonderful.
Yeah, you're wonderful. Both of you, please come back.
We will.
Bye.
Bye. And we're back.
We're back. We back.
We did it, guys.
Oh, man.
How'd you feel without Andrew here? You can tell
chilling.
Me.
Chilling. No. Satisfied?
What, you think they felt like it was chilling?
I guess chilling for me.
Oh, got it.
No, I don't know. Yeah. It was good.
It was good. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we're doing good.
I'm sorry. My brain is barely working.
We do have to tell you, this is going to be the last topical episode of the year.
Yeah.
Because Andrew and I have to go away.
And the studio is also closed.
The studio is closed. We are not allowed to record.
So even if we wanted to.
Oh, yeah. Wait. Scratch that. We're such perfectionists, guys. We would be here.
Oh, my God.
Every week.
Every
breaking down
fucking
the hottest racism chat.
Takes.
For you.
But instead.
On MTV
because
7.
Because of Earwolf.
Corporate policies.
Fat cats thinking they don't want to work on motherfucking Christmas.
Yeah, you know the movie Trading Places? They're mm-hmm. basically the white guys who make the bet. I don't know where I'm going with this.
There's a really random blackface scene in Trading Places.
Yeah, I recall. I wonder if it gets edited out now, but I bet it does not.
I don't know about now. I have seen it on TBS before.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it always was on TBS.
Also, one of those white guys just says the N-word in the bathroom at the end, too. And you're like, we didn't need this. This is a Christmas movie. Ma'am and sirs, this is a Christmas movie.
Well, that's just the spirit of Christmas.
Imagine if in It's a Wonderful Life. Imagine. I mean, you know, they all said it off screen. Anyway. Okay, so we have interviews. We will have shows coming out for you in the next 2 weeks. Yep. But our topical segments up top will not be so topical.
No, they'll be
recorded right now.
Yeah, they'll be. If you thought this was punchy,
woo!
It's going to get punchier.
Yeah.
Podswag.com/yo.
Andrew T. At Andrew T.
At Trondi Newman.
Mm-hmm. At Yo, Is This Racist?
Oh, fuck, I knew this. Oh, at 323-389-7223. That's 323-389-RACE for at your voicemails.
At your voicemails. Keep them under a minute. We love
Please.
You. We'll see you in the new year.
Happy New Year!